gambling junket boat. Don't turn the music down. Jesus Christ.
You can smoke a freedom over there. What's going on?
This is all out of my control. Okay. Yeah. Thanks, dude.
Thanks for your service, I guess.
All right. So we're the Freedom Fiends. I'm Michael Dean. Hi. How are you, Jeremy?
I'm fine, Michael. And how are you?
Yeah, I'm damn good. And Lisa, how are you?
I'm not bad. How are you?
I'm really good. Keep talking. I want to hear this.
Okay, now that we've done our now that we've done our Sunday night on air, sound check. Well, Michael will go check it out for us, and he'll be back in a second or two. So, anyway, Lisa, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. considering,
Yes. You're having problems with not getting enough sleep again, right? You need to do something about that.
Insomnia again. It haunts me. It continues to haunt me. It's sad. I don't know what to do. I need somebody to knock me out every night.
I'll knock you out.
What are you talking about? Just hit me with a hammer or something.
What are you talking about, kids?
Lisa's inability to sleep.
I'm having insomnia again. I need to get that stuff you told me about.
Oh, the hippie Valium?
Yeah. Hippie
I told Valium. You about it 6 months ago.
I know.
You've been complaining for 6 months.
She's not very good at following advice. She's awesome at giving it, but following it when people,
that's so true. I know.
I would say a typical woman, but no, there are men and women who. Yeah.
I see her all the time.
I can help everybody
though.
Else except myself. It's
there
sad.
You go.
Well, sure.
Yep. There you go.
I see you all the time. People, in different threads on social media, you'll say, you'll be talking about something and people give you all this advice. You're like, oh, that sounds great. I'm going to have to try that. And it's like, a month later, Lisa's still complaining about the same thing. I said, wait a minute. What happened? Did you try anything?
Just buy some and sell it to her. Send it to her.
Sell it to her.
Hey, kid. Want to buy some Kratom, Valium, Hippie, Valerian? Don't mix that, kid. Don't try this at home. So, speaking of, hey kid, want to buy some? Did you guys, so we've been talking a lot lately about Fang, the money will roll right in, Sammytown, murder, mayhem, and punk rock. So last night, someone posted a picture. I'm going to put this on the show notes at the bottom. It's a picture. You know what? I'm going to just stop right now. I'm going to record on my end too, just for safety. All right, so
that may not be such a bad idea tonight.
In general. So, somebody, my friend Arthur sent me a picture. His band, Psychos in Love, I believe they're called, opened up for Sammy's band Fang in Salinas, California. And I'd sent Arthur some Fiends buttons and merch in a baggie, like I sent him out to give to him, and also sent some for Arthur. And he got a great picture of Sammy holding up these buttons, and it totally looks like, hey kid, want to buy some? It's like a lid. It's a lid of buttons, man. The way he's holding it. Do you guys see it?
Yeah, it does. It does kind of look like that. That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Yep. So
it's funny though. As soon as I saw that picture, though, I recognize him because he doesn't look like his face looks just the same as whatever those the last things you sent me that you could see him, I guess, from back when he was playing more often.
Yeah.
Because they don't play. They still tour, right? But they don't. Are they still constantly touring? Or are they?
Yeah.
Still, really? Wow.
Yeah, they're as much as 50-year-olds can tour. Yeah, I saw Arthur was streaming them live on his Facebook page last night while they were playing, and Sammy. This is weird. This is like what punk rock is now. And I'm not making fun of anything about Sammy because he'll kill me. No. Because he's the real deal. He really is punk rock. He's too soon. He really is the real deal. And he actually said today, hey man, let me know when you're coming to California. And I was like, I don't go anywhere. I can't bring a gun legally. I'm not as tough as you. He lives in Oakland, man. Oakland. Ugh.
Oh, okay.
That's from what I know, there's not many very nice areas of Oakland. So.
Yeah, and all the punk rock enclaves are within, you know, five blocks in either direction, Martin Luther King Drive. You know what Chris Rock says? In any city in America, I can't do it. When you are near Martin Luther King Drive, you are not in a nice neighborhood. I lived in a worse neighborhood. In D.C., I lived across the street from Malcolm X Park. And Malcolm X Park makes Martin Luther King look like Malcolm X made Martin Luther. So, yeah, it was a little more militant in D.C. where I was living.
Yeah.
Okay, in Adams Morgan. There used to be a place in Adams Morgan that had punk shows called Madam's Organ. I like that.
I like that, too.
Yeah, but Sammy was responding to me on Facebook and saying, hey, what's up? Long time. How you been? Blah, blah, blah. You know, Facebook catching up. I don't know him really well. Like, we were in the same room 100 times, but I think I've only met him once when we were both in Toast Studios, also formerly known as Coast Recorders, on Mission Street in around 8th or 9th, kind of the ghetto in San Francisco, recording albums, our comeback album or our reunion album. After Bomb broke up from my drug addiction, Sammy went to jail for prison for murder for 6 years. It's not long for murder, but he was hard before he went in, and he came out hard. You know how most punk rockers look, you know, like it's part of the thing. Like, oh, I'm tough, man. I'm tough. Sammy's always been tough before he went to prison, and now he's like, you know, prison hardened. In a good way, probably. You know, you ever hang out with people who've been to prison? Like, they have this vibe. Like, you know, a lot of times they're really ultra polite. They're really cool. But they're sizing you up. Because they had to do that, you know? Like, they have to size everyone up. Like, okay, can I kick his ass? Can he kick my ass? You know, can I take his lunch money? Whatever, you know? Like,
yeah.
So, yeah. He's a cool guy. But, yeah, my friend Arthur was streaming it live, the show. And their bass player has one of those like Usain Bolt legs, like he's missing. What a bunch of survivors. I don't even know who the bass player is, but like, you know, his from his knee down was like an aluminum pole, like Selby's cane with a like shoe at the bottom of it. That's punk rock, man.
I don't know if Usain Bolt isn't missing a leg, is he?
I know.
Like, what?
He's like the missing two legs. It was on those like blades.
Isn't he the one who got arrested for murdering his girlfriend?
Usain Bolt or the
guy that ran on two runner with two legs. What was it, the guy from South Africa, right?
Yeah,
he
I don't know.
Claimed he accidentally shot his girlfriend through the bathroom
door.
Oh,
that's Pistorius,
yeah.
Right?
Thank Oscar you. Yeah,
Pistorius. Or yes.
Like that. Is that Jaco Pistorius's brother?
Probably.
Jaco Pistorius was beat to death. He was the greatest bass player in the world. So.
Yikes.
The name of tonight's show, because I have a great graphic for this, is the Tesla Repair Fly Fishing and Bitcoin Mining Radio Show.
Wow.
And that's a reference to, I made a joke one time on The Fiends a couple years ago. I was talking about the nature of radio versus podcasting. And like, radio, you have to do general interest, even if it's libertarian. Like, we're libertarian general interest. But we were like that before we were on radio, too. But, you know... But you know, because you have to broadcast to everybody in a geographic area, so you have to kind of appeal to everybody a little bit. But on podcasting, you can narrow cast, and you could have, I said you could have something as obscure, I said to Lou one time, that you could have something as like narrowly focused as a radio show, talk show that's only about fly fishing and Maserati repair. You know, like a lot of shows have a lot of radio has a fishing show. Not usually specifically one kind, like fly fishing, but, you know, fishing and outdoorsmanship, hunting, whatever, camping. That's one show. And then they'll have the car show. Like, every network has a car show. GCN has a car show. Every network has a car show.
Yeah, usually, yeah, sure.
Yeah. And, mm-hmm. But, so you couldn't have, like, a specific car and a specific kind of fly fishing, because it would appeal to, like, you know, 90 people in America, but... they'd all listen to the podcast because they don't have to listen to geographic areas. So, but Lou recently posted a picture of a friend that a Fiend fan sent of the Fiends playing on the dashboard computer in a Tesla car. You know, those like $150,000 electric cars that are amazing. Yeah. And so I said that there should be a Tesla repair, fly fishing, and Bitcoin mining show.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. The idea of Tesla is great, but I hate Elon Musk. He's such a welfare whore.
Oh yeah, well, because he takes all the government money to he's playing the carbon credit game. Right?
He would not be able to be selling these cars if it wasn't for taking taxpayer money.
Hey, but he he runs SpaceX too, and I'm not exactly gonna be involved for him. But to get to Alpha Centauri, you got to break a few government eggs, probably.
Yeah.
His brother does some kind of really socialist environmental stuff.
Yeah, they probably all use iPhones too. Oh, by the way, the Freedom Fiends have an iPhone app now.
Finally,
it's on Apple. Like, it's on the iTunes.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And it was it was easier to get a mortgage and buy a house. I'm not exaggerating.
How much did this endeavor end up costing you too? On top of like
$600, but it ended up costing me my sanity and my sleep, and probably 30 hours of dealing with Apple.
Good.
Wow.
And like, they had to kind of cripple the app to get it on there. Like, they took away the anarchy symbol, the A for the about page, the agenda page, and replaced it with like a picture of Big Ben in London, like a generic. They didn't do it, but the people I'm making the app through did that. And I said, like, do what you need to. After I had turned down twice, and the second time it was for something ridiculous, or the third time, it was the third time, it was for not being IPv6 compliant. I'm not going to explain what that is.
I was going to say, I don't know what
Apple,
that means.
The Apple site is not completely IPv6 compliant. I was just like, at this point, like, okay, these people are just messing with me. Like, there's three things it has to be compliant. The Apple site is only two of them. So I just think they were messing with me. And I finally said to, like, at the app, the company I do it through, like, do what you have to get it on there. So, like, there's not even a contact link, but it still says on the contact on the page, like, contact us if you must at the red link below, and there's no red link, which is kind of cool because it goes along with my, that's my, I don't want to talk to people. I want to talk in one direction. So there.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny. DJ, how do you like the fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers, and there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
Cat Island.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. Yeah, right. All right, so show me on the doll where Apple touched you. So, I made this Apple app. So anybody who's got an iPhone, first of all, if you had the beta of the Fiends app, please delete it and go download it from the iTunes store and then review it on there. That will help the Fiends. And you know what? I did this for like 10 people. There's like 10 fiend fans I know of who have an iPhone, and I spent like $500+, more than that, which I can't really afford to spend, but I did. And because I love each and every one of you, please donate. Hashtag. I'm going to have this thing called Hashcat now because someone said that
Hashcat.
My cat, Bipcat, on the Bitcoin logo, they said, like, so you're really going to go with that logo that looks like a cat who smoked too much hash? Hashcat, please donate. Yeah, go ahead.
Is that going to be cat number four? Hashcat.
New visit.
Whoa. Oh,
thanks. What? Welcome our robot overlords.
Yeah, apparently.
Shut up, robot overlords. All right, so I have a thing that, like, yeah, okay, it's a... It's embarrassing. Right. It's on the Bitcoin site. It's a thing. It's a new thing on the track on the stats page I use. There's a new thing, and I was like, "What's this weird little like? Looks like a Pac-Man with its mouth open icon." And I hovered over it and it said like, "Announce new visitors." You know, like the first time a new person looks at it.
Oh yeah.
And I forgot I had that open. A new visitor. I opened it. So yeah.
Staring at the Bitcoin page stats.
Yeah, so I'm exhausted just because everything all came together at the same time. Like the Apple app finally got approved, and you know, Bitcoin is up and rocking, and people should really go mine it while this mining's still good. I wrote a huge, well, an excellent tutorial with screenshots on how to mine Bitcoin. So go to the Bitcoin.org site and mine it. I've also a lot of Fiends news. Also got bigger and smaller buttons coming in about a week.
Bigger, bigger than the last set of bigger ones?
No, bigger like the last ones, but then small like they used to be before.
Oh, nice.
Because a lot of people like one or the other a lot. So
yeah.
See, I've seen those discussions. I can't decide. Yeah.
All right. So I'm just going to play ad I made. So this is the ad that starts playing tonight on 32 stations. DJ and I made this today, and we're pretty darn proud of this. All right, here it goes. And, you know, leave your mics open. I want to hear you. I want to hear if you like this while it's playing. So here it is.
You're special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today. Because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
Wow.
I love it. That's great. Very clever.
Thank you. We worked really hard on that, DJ and I. And I wrote it. I was going to have Lisa and Diana do it going back and forth. But DJ hasn't done an ad in like a year and maybe more. And, you know, because now I have all these like, you know, ruby throated women on the show. I have four of them. So DJ's like, I really want to do this. And she's here and nobody replied. Aww. You know, I wrote you guys and said, which of you ruby throated women can do this? Dulcet throated, honey throated, I think I said. And nobody'd gotten back to me. So I'm like, hey, she's right here and she's wonderful and beautiful and she's my wife. And she helped me rewrite it a little bit. And then we did a few takes of it. She nailed it. But then I spent about 2 hours listening to different versions of Paco Bell Canon. I call it the Taco Bell Canon. But yeah. Until I found the right one. A lot of them had too many notes for the royal ear. You know, they were like orchestral. And I thought, what about solo lute? And I couldn't find lute. And I found a classical guitar version. And I was like, that's it. It worked.
Yeah.
And DJ's ads are some of my favorites anyway. So
Yeah,
this one's up there with Cat Muff, but it's a real ad. So it's no Cat Muff, but it's almost a Cat Muff. I work with Cat Muff. And you, sir, are no Cat Muff. Worms.
Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
I just downloaded the app.
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT NoGov merchandise. The BIPCOT NoGovernment license is licensed under the BIPCOT NoGovernment license, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT NoGovernment merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BipCut.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends. Be the coolest kid at FiendFest Somalia. Laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BipCut.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BipCut t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, BipStrong bracelets, BipCut stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BipCut. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BipCut.org. That's BipCut.org.
Here we go, yo.
Well, I want to apologize for berating our board op. I thought he'd like gotten drunk on Kratom beer. Is that a thing? Should be.
Not yet.
Kratom. Freedom Fiends powered by Kratom. That none of us have tried yet. All right, so next week we're all gonna be, no, anyway. So yeah, we're broadcasting for international waters. We do what we want. Sorry about berating Dan. He's a great board op. I didn't know that he was doing three people's jobs tonight. Some people aren't there, and some people also will never be there again. And he worked a 21-hour shift recently, board oping. Jesus,
that's crazy.
Man. My hat is off to you, sir.
And thank you for your service.
For your service.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, man. I know. I heard him in every. No, the audience didn't hear that, but yeah, he went, yep, thank you. Yep, the voice of God when that happens. That happens with the sound men at shows, too. Sometimes they talk to you through the monitors, and the audience doesn't hear it much. It's weird. It's like they're in your head. Speaking of being in your head, we play good host, bad host. Whenever I get mad and scream at the board ops, you're nice to them, Jeremy.
Well, yes, because that was one of the very first things you taught me when we had our first conversation. The importance of always being for that exact reason, for the similarities between them and the sound men at a show. Always be nice to them because they can make or break your show. So,
well, you know,
I'm always pleasant and I always thank them for their service.
Yeah, I break my own rules, but you know, you got to know the rules to break them. That's true. And you know who broke the rules was David Bowie, and he wrote this song, "All the Young Dudes," for Mott the Hoople. And yes. then he did it himself. Great song. Amazing song. Now, here's the thing. Listen. It's Pachelbel Canon.
Whoa.
And in the same way that Pachelbel Canon, I've never heard anyone say this. I figured it out. It's part of why this song is so popular. It's also a great song. But it's like the same. It's like six chords down, and then it comes back up the same two chords, I think. And it repeats in a circle, and it's Pachelbel Canon, and it's the same chords with a similar melody. And we can play it in the background, man. It's Pachelbel Canon's from like hundreds of years ago, and it's kind of like the blues, you know? It's like three chord. It's the three chord rock of classical music. DJ said that's why it's popular, because it's simple, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I don't think I'd have to hear them together.
Mott the Hoople says, I'm yelling to my wife in the other room. Sorry. It's the other way around. Mott the Hoople says, I need TV when I've got T-Rex. David Bowie, later when he did his version of this song, said, who needs TV when I got T-Rex? So he was the T-Rex fan. Do you guys know T-Rex? Great band.
Yes, I remember T-Rex. Sure do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, So T-Rex, when Mark Bolan, the singer, died, the other guys in the band went on as T-Rex without him. And there was a petition signed, published in international magazines to get them to stop doing that. And the two names at the top of it, one was Tony Visconti, who was like their producer who made their sound.
Oh, wow.
And the other, and the second person on the list was David Bowie. So David Bowie's telling you, please, for the love of God, retire the name and use it, you know, play the songs just like every other cover band in the world. Just use a different name.
Yeah.
Oh, man. T-Rex is weird. Like, some of his songs are amazing, and some of them sound like goofy country music. This one's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
This is effing music. This is music to, his beat, it's effing music, man. It's to F, music to F. I think he influenced Bowie. What's that?
I could see that. I was gonna say
F music or Bowie.
I'm not sure I agree with the F music part, but I do see the Bowie. I can see the Bowie similarities.
You know what's the best F music in my opinion for me? My music.
Oh.
Frank Sinatra said. I learned that from him, but it's true. Oh. Frank Sinatra said, like, there's nothing as amazing as making love to a beautiful woman while listening to your own record.
Wow.
So
the height of egoism.
Black Mirror.
Yes, Black Mirror. I need to know what this is.
Tell us about Black Mirror, Michael.
Black Mirror has been described as a modern version of the Twilight Zone that's amazing. You know, it's like, you know, the Twilight Zone was all for its time, like, you know, late 50s, early 60s. I'm not talking about the revamped year or two in the 80s when J. Neil Schulman wrote an episode. Did you guys know that?
No.
No, I didn't know.
Yeah. And it's like, it was when they sucked. It was, yeah. Yeah. That's one of his claim to fame. Like, he actually did something in Hollywood once. I don't count that movie just because it's got some people who had speaking parts on Star Trek Next Generation. That doesn't count. That's not Hollywood. He claims, God, I went like 10 days without thinking about the guy.
I forgot about him until tonight.
Schulman! All right, so Black Mirror is just stunning. And it's shot on the RED camera system.
Of course.
What does that mean?
Pretty sure. What does that mean? It's a new,
I don't know what that means, yeah.
It's a video camera that costs about $100,000 that's about the size of four beer cans that all your favorite shows are shot on.
Oh, okay.
It's like, and it's made by the guy who made, what's the sunglass guy? I think he made the GoPro, and then he made
the
Oakley sunglasses first.
Yes, I believe so. Yeah, I think those two are the same guy.
That's a guy. I like him better than Elon Musk. Yeah.
Me too.
The guy who made Oakley sunglasses, which made like even the dorkiest surfers look cool, and the rest of us look like dorky surfers.
Exactly. I've always worn Oakleys.
But they're good. They protect your eyes really well. And then he made the GoPro, which is an amazing little cheap video camera. Inexpensive, you know, a couple $100. You've seen GoPro footage, right? You guys?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
It looks great. It looks amazing.
It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he made I think it's the same guy, made the RED camera system, and it revolutionized TV. It's part of the reason Netflix and Amazon are able to make these amazing shows that are stunning. I mean, they have incredibly talented people too, but it's like,
they look like they're $100 million projects, and they're not, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Although there was one, what was it I said that they canceled? They canceled Bloodline, that show I really like. One or two seasons, because it cost $250 million with a B dollars for them to make like 17 episodes or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I think there may have been, right?
Although the show looks like there might have been mountains of cocaine involved, but that's just keys.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's a great show.
So part of the inspiration for that Apple ad was dealing with Apple for 3 weeks every day. Like, it was my day job. Like, my day job has become dealing with Apple to get this.
That is not a fun day job.
Damn, unpaid. I'm paying to have this day job. Yeah.
That's not a job. That's
torture.
Apple is really elite, and not everyone who has an iPhone is bad. Lisa has an iPhone. She's good. Diana's good.
Good.
You know, come to think of it,
Diana hasn't been able to use her podcasting app for like months. Well, she's always complaining about something.
She can hear the fiends only. So
mine upgraded today, and I don't like it. Did it when I was taking a nap.
See, look at that.
The social contract of Apple.
I don't know how to do anything anymore.
You agreed to it. You're going to end up in the human centipede, man. Be careful.
Oh, whoa.
Oh my gosh,
well, that escalated quickly.
Did you guys see that South Park?
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Have you seen the South Park?
I haven't watched South Park in a couple of years.
Well, there's one where they're making fun of the Apple agreements, you know, the ELU, electronic licensing.
Yeah, I don't think I did, but okay.
User agreement. You know, those things that every software has now where there's like 80 pages of legalese and tiny text.
That nobody reads.
Yeah.
And if you don't click, I agree, you know, you don't get the app. So they were making fun of that on South Park, and it was like basically... Cartman ended up in a human centipede with Steve Jobs like yelling at him.
Oh, man.
Because of the agreement.
Horrible.
Yeah. If you don't know what a human centipede is, don't Google it, people.
Yeah, no, don't.
Please.
No,
okay,
please don't. Please don't.
But yeah, you know, every time people use the Apple app, you should probably picture in your head the late Steve Jobs, God rest his soul. Great man. Denying paternity of his kid when he was a billionaire and his wife wanted $50,000 for life and was starving. And he said, aww. Kid ain't mine. They had a DNA test, court ordered. He said, kid ain't mine. The guy was a billionaire with a B, had a kid, left the woman. She was on welfare trying to support the kid. And she had a, you know, called him up and said, you know, something like, give me $60,000 for life and I will go away and never contact you again. It's for the kid. Mm-hmm. And he was like, not my kid. So think about that. He later had a relationship with her when she was like 20, you know, but just think about that. Every time you use your beautiful, elite, made for you because you are beautiful, Fiends iPhone app.
Oh man!
Just picture Steve Jobs saying,
"Now nobody's gonna download it."
Ain't my kid.
The app is great. I like it. It looks cool.
Yeah, thanks.
The phone, not cooler. So happy with. Yeah,
it was cool.
Yeah, well, the Android app is cool.
I don't know where anything is on my phone anymore. Yeah. I woke up and was like, "Whose phone is this?"
I know.
My phone. I didn't agree to this. What is this?
I did. Yes, you did. Human centipedes next week. You're in it.
Oh no!
Oh God!
You know, I would say, hey, at least the iPhone is a killer app. You know, you should buy it just to run the Fiends app. Except for the fact that the Android app is much better, and I'm running it on a $13 phone that I bought on Amazon that never upgrades ever.
Oh,
and it lasts a long time on a battery charge because it's not being
not
a phone.
Doing anything else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what's on mine now. I'm like, what is all this stuff? I wasn't here before.
Apple finally, you know, grease myself up and put my hands flat on the wall and kind of bend over and let Apple, let Steve Jobs from beyond the grave just come and do his thing, man. I just had to give in.
The visual.
That is, that's not going to help Lisa with her insomnia.
No, but when you picture that, Lisa, picture him when he had cancer and was really sick and thin at the end.
I don't want to picture that either. What's wrong with you, man?
Apple!
Apple! You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Thank you for being a fiend. You may know the show is Triggerweens. We're saying worms and your new bigger buttons on. And if you threw a party and invited every yak you knew, you would see we'd still follow the NAP, and we're covered by Bipcot. Thank you for being a fiend.
So it's less like a cat and more like a monkey from The Wizard of Oz.
It is.
Oh, There you go.
But you nailed it. Analogy, they are Steve Jobs' ghost ripping me apart. And my head was over there. And my arms were over there. After my iPhone update. And my apps were over there. The lion, man. The lion was really, really gay sounding.
Yeah. Very flamboyant.
Really, really.
Now, when you watch it, like, oh.
You know, people didn't know. Like, people didn't know Liberace was gay, if you can believe it. Oh, he's so colorful.
Oh, well, no, the women didn't want to believe Liberace was gay. Look,
but you know who people didn't know was gay? Was Vincent Price. You know Vincent Price?
Yes, yeah. I didn't know that until I think after he died, I think I finally heard that.
I didn't know that until right now.
I just thought he was dramatic and trained in British theater, but he was, yeah. Anyway, so the thing that inspired this ad that I wrote tonight was a few things. One was dealing with Apple. One was the beginning of the Dead Kennedys record, Plastic Surgery Disasters, that's got the whole band just making noise before they go into the first song, and this really sweet woman's voice saying, "Why are you such a stupid a-hole? Do you really want to know? Well, take off your clothes, and the psychiatrist will tell you how. You went to school where you were taught to learn and to obey. Be real. Life can be beautiful. Someday I will have a home of my very own." Yeah, and then it's like, it never happened, did it? And then it's 1, 2, 3, 4, and it goes into the next song. That kind of inspired. It's like the death of the American dream kind of thing, you know? That's what the Dead Kennedys was about. The whole band. Jello, who named the band, Jello Biafra, actually liked the Kennedys, especially JFK. And, you know, was like a little kid when he was killed and was sad. He called the band Dead Kennedys, A, because it was shocking and memorable, and B, because it was about the death of the American dream. Like, so after post-war, you know, World War II, everyone comes home. You know, there's this bubble in the economy and a real economy growing because, you know, industry and America and commerce and stuff. But also, you know,
stuff.
Yeah, the war. It's hard to say free market when it's after a war because it's, I don't know. But
yeah, it's not really.
So, you know, all of a sudden, like the thing that happened after World War II was that for you kids that don't know, how old are you guys?
Yeah.
You don't want to say. Okay. Well, I'm 52. Yeah. My wife's 57. She said I could say that. She's like, I am what I am. You know, you guys are... Uh-huh. Jeremy looks like Sammy from Fang's younger brother. Sammy from Fang's about my age, so...
Well, I could be young. I'm going to be 40 in a couple of months.
Yeah, I'm 46. Whatever.
Cool.
It is what it
worms.
Is.
At least you don't have worms. So...
as far as we know.
So after World War II...
My doctor told me, at least.
Anybody with a job... could buy a house and support a family of four. That was kind of the promise, and that was kind of the reality. And it literally started in Jeremy's town, Levittown, where he's sitting right now. It was the first post-war suburb.
Suburb.
Yep, it was the first suburb
in America. Yep.
I want to know, by the way, anyone who watched, okay, so, and then, like, you know, gradually, because of the Federal Reserve, because of inflation, because government, now...
Thanks, government.
A man working a job, unskilled job, 40 hours a week, cannot support a family of four and a wife. Cannot happen. Right after World War II, you could work a job in construction or in a factory, and you could buy a car, a nice refrigerator, all the stuff that they were suddenly advertising. It was a boom. And, you know, people make fun of that because it died, and it never really happened, did it? Kind of did for me. I don't know. My wife and I were just happy. That's what the thing is, you know. It's
aww.
We're happy.
Yeah.
It's nice. So so anyway, that's your history lesson, kids, for the day. For more, go to Professor CJ. He has better stuff. He goes deeper. And Ben Stone. So
much deeper.
The other thing that inspired it was the first episode of the third season, the new season of Black Mirror. It is amazing. Check it out. It's all about the power your little phone has over you and where we might be headed. And it's filmed in this like dystopian suburban, like, I don't know where it is. I think it's somewhere in Southern California. I've never been, but I couldn't find the filming location, so I don't know. But so all of that culminated in the right perfect storm to make that ad. And Worms.
It's a great ass.
Thanks,
it
man.
Is.
He built that. You like how I share the credit with The Fiends? The Fiends built this app. Because y'all do, because you make this possible. The Fiends with a capital F, you guys, and small F, our listeners. F. F music.
F's all around.
F's. I want to F everyone who loves The
Whoa.
Fiends. I'm starting to feel better because I've noticed. I'm still
Sounds
sick.
Sounds like it.
I'm not dying.
Sound better.
This show Yay. Survives.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
Hi, audience. I didn't see you come in.
All right, who's doing the intro? This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Bees Plaza, on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. This allows for use by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
I'm mining Bitcoin. So if you're a fan in the background. So everyone should mine Bitcoin.
I still have Bitcoin. To update my software.
It's Bipcoin, BIPCOIN, .org. And yes. We have a team now. We have a team. We have two block Woo-hoo. Explorers, two mining pools. And it's like we're open for
Legit
business. Everything's
stuff,
working.
Man.
No errors. Remember all those errors?
Yes.
Zero. Zero.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Zero nice. Errors. Yep.
Oh, I definitely have to get on updating my software so I can start mining again.
Yep. And the people, one of the people is Derek Slopey. You guys know Derek, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. From I got to hang out with Derek. Got to hang out with Derek at Porkfest.
In his ambulance, his hackubulence.
Yes.
Yeah.
His
media ambulance. He has two now. Do you know that?
Oh, no. Really? They got a second one?
Yeah. When one just isn't enough. So, yep. So Brian's not helping anymore. Brian helped a lot. Brian helped us get started, but he got busy. He's doing a pilot thing. Going to be a not I'm in a pilot, a soap opera. No, he's getting a pilot's license.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Nice. So he's doing that. And
I
Derek,
want to learn how to fly.
It's Me Derek, too. Myself. I'm sorry. Are you done? No. Okay. Talk all you want. I wonder if we could talk at the same time and have it work.
Probably not.
I'm sure we can. It doesn't go very well.
Try. I wasn't chiding you. You're fine. I'm just tired. I'm happy. I'm manic. I'm happy things are good. I was ready to say F it with Apple. I really was. Okay, so.
And I thought then you were going to.
And it all kind of came together the same day. Apple came back into my life and said, okay, Mr. Jobs is done sampling you from different angles, and we're going to permit you into our elite club. Yeah. But then the same day, I was busy as a beaver on crystal meth. I wasn't on crystal meth. I was busy as a beaver on crystal meth.
Oh, my God.
That would be quite a sight to see.
Do you know beavers and man are the only animals that affect their environment in big ways?
No, I didn't know that.
Beavers building dams. Beavers can flood a town. It's happened before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I knew they were capable of affecting their environment like that. I wasn't aware that there were any other animals that didn't do that as well. But.
I don't know. I heard that on National Geographic in 1974.
Oh, then it must be true.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think termites.
It has national in the title. It's got to be, you know.
Termites
like
can wreck
thing.
A building.
Yeah.
Yes, right? They can.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So I think I call shenanigans nationalist.
Shenanigans.
So the other two people on my Bitcoin team, on our team, it's us. It's a team now. And we're actually looking for one or two more, two or three more people. Doesn't pay. Pays in Bitcoin that you mine, but you know, you get to be a part of. I'm not getting paid. I'm I'm out money on this too. I lose money to make everyone happy. So please, #hashcat, please donate. But so there's this guy I call the Greek who's in Greece, who's kind of becoming my new really good friend. I really like talking to this guy. I've talked a lot on Skype, a lot on email. He's just a part of my day now. And no homo. But he's a great guy. His real name is Mikeys. And I remember that because I had to make up a mnemonic. What is it, Jeremy?
Mnemonic.
Lisa? Mnemonic.
Johnny. Mnemonic. Jeremy.
Johnny Mnemonic.
Jeremy Mnemonic. Yeah. And the mnemonic is, I lost my keys. I lost my keys. So it's my keys. Yeah, I like him. I like him a lot. He's really brilliant. He's nice. He and I are the ones putting the most time into it. Like, we talk all day for like the past, I don't know, 2 days, 3 days. Seems like years, but in a good way. And then there's SLB, who no one knows his real name. He's mysterious. He's in Eastern Europe somewhere. He's incredibly busy with like 20 projects to the point where when you IRC with him, you ask him a question. He's like, yeah, I'm here. And you ask a question, and then like 5 minutes later, you get a short answer. But it works, the answer. You type something else, and 4 minutes later, you get another answer. But it works. And then like I'll say things like, hey, you know, he runs this site called ForkNote, which is dedicated to things made from CryptoNote, the, you know, kind of code that we use. That
yes,
there's like a dozen active coins out of the 800 cryptocurrencies out there. I know you know, but not everyone listening knows. I don't think everyone listening knows what a cryptocurrency is, but they're just drunk on Robitussin and Kratom. What's it called?
Kratom.
Kratom. Kratom. Well, they have extracts, I've heard, so that would be Kratom.
That's going to be the next thing you find in the hood. Kratom.
Kratom. Yeah. Kratom.
Oh, no.
You'll have Sammy from Fang out there selling bags. Yo, want some Kratom in West Oakland? All right, so.
You get a button with every purchase.
Guns and weed would sell out. Yeah. But what was I talking about, man? I don't know. Bitcoin?
Some Bitcoin, yes.
What was I saying about Bitcoin? So I was talking about
the secret of SLB.
SLB. That's his username on Bitcoin Talk. Not Bitcoin Talk. Someday. We can only dream. BitcoinTalk.org. But BitcoinTalk.org. He's that's his username on there. It's the only thing I know him by. And he's weird. Like, I'll talk, you know, I talked like eight hours a day the past 2 days with Mikeys, who I just call sometimes the Greek, which is a character in Last Exit to Brooklyn by Hubert Selby Jr. And it's also a character in the Selby-inspired show, The Wire. You guys saw The Wire, right?
I never did.
The old gangster who's like bringing in tons, literally, not, you know, he's bringing in a ton. He's got a ton of drugs. And how much for real? A ton. You know, he's that guy. A week. You know, he brings in the ton of coke and heroin that Baltimore uses each week.
Gotcha.
Not my Greek. The Greek in that show.
The Greek.
My Greek. I don't own this Greek.
My Greek.
But
he doesn't own this Greek.
I was going to say, you stepped on the ownership of people. Excellent.
Yes. Decentralized Bitcoin will free you to be in my cult. Yeah. Okay, so SLB is like last night, I asked him, so can you, you know, in the next, I'm making up a list for like, you know, when you do a cryptocurrency, one of the things you do is kind of do like you put on your website and on Bitcoin Talk on your thread on the first page, you edit it as you go, you know, and you go back and you edit it. Then you like your map, your plan, your what you're going to do over the next few months, you know, so to inspire people that you think you know what you're doing. So, so one of the things I wanted to do was, so there's this. There's a lot of mining pool software out there for Bitcoin and every altcoin, but there's one that's specifically for CryptoNote, you know, because it doesn't work the same way as Bitcoin, the other 800 Bitcoin-derived coins. Derek Slopey is very, very knowledgeable of cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin and mined Bitcoin when you could do it on a $25 Raspberry Pi. Now you need, like, you know, banks of computers in China to do it. But so he's been in it that long. And but he said, like, looking at and examining the code of CryptoNote, you know, when he first looked at it, he's starting to understand it. And the other two guys, like, live in it and breathe in it. And especially SLB, like, he's one of the guys. He's, like, one of the main guys in this thing. He runs the ForkNote site, and he runs the software. He's one of the main contributors to the software that all the mining pools use for all of the coins. And I said to him, like, so, you know, do you think you could fix this one little problem in the next week or so, and then the way pools are working for us, and then do you think that in the next, like, 2 months, can I put you down on this thing for in the next 2 months, do you think you'd be able to add us to the ForkNote pool software? And we got, you know, like, 5 minutes went by, and he answered a previous question, and then the Greek had to talk to him by IRC. And then, so I just went to bed because they were talking tech stuff that was beyond me. You know, like, that's why they're on the team. So they were talking that stuff. And I woke up, and, like, you know, today I was talking with the Greek later, Marquis. Marquis. That's not a that's Greek racist. Accent. That's Latka. What's the guy's name that was on Taxi that was played by that comedian? That
went Andy insane. Kaufman.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Latka.
Latka, yeah,
I'm doing his voice on Taxi. Gotcha. I lost my keys. So, so we, like, you know, I didn't get an answer back from SLB. And then, so I'm talking with the Greek later today, like, you know, 16 hours after that conversation, and I'd slept 5 hours in there somewhere. And all of a sudden, like, I guess he subscribed to this thing on GitHub, and all of a sudden he goes, like, oh, SLB added Bitcoin to that software. He didn't even tell us. He didn't answer me.
He didn't respond to you. He just did it. Wow.
And then was too busy to tell me, you know. And he did the other thing that I asked without telling me he was going to, you know. It just, that's how this team works. Nice. It's great. It's as amorphous and weird as CryptoNote. So what Derek said about CryptoNote was, when he first started working with it, he felt like he was a really good doctor, someone really good with Bitcoin stuff, who encountered a virus from space, an alien virus. Yeah. Like, not that Bitcoin is a virus. You're not getting the analogy, people, if you think that's what I'm saying. But, yeah. So, but he's learning the alien virus, and the other two guys know the alien virus. And who knows? You know, nobody knows who made the CryptoNote code. Like, someone made it and just dropped it and said, like, I'm just going to leave this here, like, 4 years ago, and it disappeared. And, you know, the code's solid. People examine it. It's all good. But who knows? Somebody on my team might even be on that team. I doubt it, but I don't know. I used to think Derek was Satoshi Nakamoto, so I don't know.
That would be crazy.
That would be crazy. Would. Crazy time. You make crazy time with me? That show's before your time.
I still watch it.
What show is that?
Who is the hot chick on that show? Who's
Marilu Brenner?
Host. Yeah. Yeah. Who looks just like her is the main character in the first episode of the new Black Mirror. Looks like Marilu Henner looked back in the 70s when I was 12 and had a huge crush on Marilu Henner.
Oh, she was, yeah.
She's on TV.
I watched it later, but she was still.
She's smart, you know. Like, really smart.
Oh, yeah. She has a photograph. What's it called? Ethnogenic memory? No.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week, we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Well, we're back.
We're back.
Talking about plans for next year. I don't know where Michael ran off to.
Left us. Yeah, yeah, so they moved it to June, right?
Yes, the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest is getting moved to June, apparently, to rival Pork Fest, which should be interesting. But
yeah.
Yeah. Yes, but yeah, we need you to get out to some of these next year. So
I know. I need to, hopefully. I don't usually plan things out more than a week in advance these days.
I try not to.
I can't promise anything. I mean, I went to the Renaissance Festival today, and as of yesterday, I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to go. We'll see.
Oh.
Just so noncommittal.
I've never been to one of those things.
Yeah.
I always hear about them. Yeah.
It's really fun.
Talk about Ren Faire, where everyone has sex with everyone.
I know. I love it.
It's a kink thing. You know,
it is. Somebody
made a Venn diagram. Okay, this is going to a weird place. In San Francisco.
Oh my God.
You don't know what a Venn diagram is.
I do, of course.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the audience. Okay. I know you know.
We're not the only ones here, Lisa.
When you do that, I know. That's good radio, though, when you forget. Maybe people think it's not, but for us it is. So we talk like this all the time, everyone. Really.
Yes,
we do, though.
Yes.
When you do that interview, we can't talk about.
Yeah.
You know, you probably want them to say under your name on the TV, you know, Lisa DeLascio, curator, nutritionalanarchy.com. Is it .com?
Yes.
Org? Okay.
Yes.
And then, you know, radio host, Freedom Fiends. But they probably won't put that much. If they ask you, I suggest you say Lisa DeLascio, syndicated radio host.
Ooh.
Not for me, not for the show, but people will be more likely to Google you and find all your stuff than if you just say somewebsite.com, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Everyone's got a website. Not everyone is a syndicated radio host. And it's short and it's sweet. And for some insane reason, it suggests authority to people.
Wow, that's like, really funny.
Oh, you're on radio. You must be
You must write know something.
All the time. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about write all the time.
Yeah, I like that. Let's go with that. Write all the time. Yep.
And
remember this.
That'll.
Audio.
If my family actually listened to this show, they'd be like throwing things at the radio right now. me being associated with that, anything being right all the time.
Lisa DeLascio.
Mine too.
Always right.
Always right. Remember that.
Right sounds right wing. Always correct.
Always.
My family would do the same thing.
Yeah, I see.
Are you kidding me? Her? What?
Hey, we're not making fun of.
Crazy.
If there's anybody out there who thinks, oh, did they just make fun of us conservatives? They must be a bunch of lefties.
Okay, never.
I am more.
Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist.
Yep, and it's fantastic.
So that's Hillary. Never mind.
If you want to put this on a left-right scale, if your mind is that small, I am more conservative and right-wing about several things than most of the Trump supporters or people who are writing in. I don't know who. Who are the 18 people that were running that aren't there anymore?
I have any of no them. Idea.
I don't know.
You know, because I'm sure you're sitting there going, I believe that guns should be. Okay, I'm not going to do it in a Southern accent. That's insulting to Southerners to do that. I hate that's shorthand for stupid. And really, if you should go read this book called The Redneck Manifesto by Jim Goad, it's written about 25 years ago. It basically, the premise of it, in a very hilarious and intelligent, witty way for 200 pages, that's not puss-puss at all. He basically makes the premise that white people, specifically white Southerners, and specifically white poor Southerners, are the only group you could still make fun of. And if you made shows on TV about gays, women, Muslims, leftists, Canadians, Jews, anybody else, the way they do. Can you imagine the Beverly Hillbillies, but instead like the Riyadh Muslims? I mean, can you imagine that same show?
Oh, no.
Done like
no.
that?
No.
Yeah, it wouldn't work. So, you know, you'd get kicked off for TV and tarred and feathered in the streets. But, yeah. So read that book. It's true.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I was gonna say I've heard you mention that before. I still haven't read it yet, but it does kind of fit with what goes on, unfortunately.
Don't read anything else by Jim Goad. He kind of went nuts at some point, especially after 9/11, and became okay. He was like what I described about this book is what the alt-right kind of says now, but then they take it in a weird direction. But this guy wasn't like racist. He was just like, and he wasn't even just sticking up for the white man. Like, he said really prescient things in this book. The one that really resonated with me, I've always remembered, was that, and this wasn't a socialist thing, he's basically a capitalist.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
So we're back.
Yeah.
We were just talking about food.
Yes, I mean, have you ever had deep-fried turkey? Yum.
That I have had is delicious.
I've had a whole deep-fried pizza.
I had s'mores on a stick today. It was awesome.
You ever have stick meat? Stick meat's great. I like stick meat.
I've had stick meat, yes.
Meat on a stick? I've had meat in a box. It's like a real place here.
Meat in a box.
It is. It's a real restaurant.
That sounds oddly sexual.
It's a Santa Claus skit. Is it
I know. That's what I thought when I worked in Arlington right outside of D.C. One of my coworkers said, hey, there's this new place up the street called Meat in a Box. Will you go with me for lunch there today? And I said, you're joking, right? Because I thought it was Saturday Night Live. And she's like, no, really? It's like kebabs, like Mediterranean stuff. And I was like, oh, yeah, I want to go. And it was good, but
kebabs.
Gosh, the name of the place, it is funny. Meat in a Box.
Well, I am a fan of meat. I do.
Mary Lou Henner, I like her even more now.
Why?
She was a contestant on Celebrity Apprentice and fired by Donald Trump in the 8th episode.
Wow.
That's a plus.
She has although books that, you know, I have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump smells like burnt steak and Hillary's pantsuit stinks and she's a socialist. I'm going to go eat. You guys talk for a while.
Okay.
It's the eating show.
Well, now I'm really hungry. We keep talking about food. But we're talking about deep frying things. I was telling you that, you know, because you asked about deep fried Twinkies, and yes, I've had them. And then I told you that I made them. And I used to have a deep fryer that I used for making wings and stuff like that, because I used to throw little margarita parties here at my house. And we would just eat margaritas. It was weird, you know, margarita and wings. It was a great party. I don't know. Great way to spend a
win. Margaritas?
No, didn't get that far.
Aww.
But one weekend we were hanging out here. We were had a couple people around, and we were like, oh, you know, I haven't had those Twinkies in a while. And like, oh, you know what? We could try making them. So we went to the store, got some Twinkies, came back, and they came out pretty well. I mean, the first couple of batches were quite a mess, but you know, we got the hang of it after a while, and then we got the brilliant idea. It's like, what else can we do? So we went back to the store. Like, we were buying everything. Like, we tried, what is it? I was thinking, the funny bones. What are the chocolate peanut butter ones? Those did not come out well. Like, those I thought would be delicious. No, they melted and actually tasted weird. I was very bummed. But like, we were throwing like candy bars and like pretty much anything we could think of. Donuts.
You know those tasty cake? I love tasty cake stuff. The tasty cake, what are those things? Those on? Oh, they're like butterscotch. You know what I'm talking about? The butterscotch cakes with icing, they would probably be so good deep fried.
Oh, I may have to try that.
about it. Yummy.
It's going to make me want to go out and get a fryer again, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, what happened to your fryer? You said you used to have
it. Yeah, I tossed it when I went paleo a couple of years ago. And even though I kind of fell off that whole thing, largely, I've been pretty bad recently, but I just never got around to getting another one. So, because that one was just like, I got like a ridiculous deal on it. It wasn't huge. It was only like a 6-quart or something like that.
Big enough.
But yeah, it was big enough to do a couple batches of wings at once. So, yeah, and then all that stuff. It wasn't big enough to do a turkey or anything.
I would be dangerous with that thing.
Yeah.
Chocolate can I put in here?
Well, exactly. You could just sit around. No, I could do this. I could do that.
Let's make cupcakes and put them in there. Dangerous. Well,
yeah. And, you know, like I said, cannabis may or may not have been involved. But, you know, it's all good. And,
isn't it always?
Yeah.
But. Yeah. I went to the Renaissance Fair today. And they had s'mores on a stick, which is like this big clump of Golden Grahams cereal and marshmallows and like this chocolate coating. And I think that would be really good deep fried. I think they should step up their game a little bit.
Yeah, and make that.
Yeah. And you can eat that while you watch The Sword Swallowing, which I'm obsessed with. It's so cool. Because the guy they have is a real one. He's one of the real, it's not fake. He really does it. It's neat. Johnny Fox is his name.
I didn't know there was actually people that did fake sword swallowing.
Yeah, apparently there are some that do, that they use collapsible things, you know, so it's not really swallowing. But this guy is one of the real ones. I mean, I was looking at x-rays online. People having x-rays done while they have their sword in their esophagus, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty fascinating what people can do. Yeah, I have no idea why someone would want to do that, but
yeah, weird. I mean, that was, why did that even start? Why was that ever a thing? I don't know. Like,
what I want to know. Who thought of this? But it's an ancient art.
Well, no, that I realize. It's like, you know, I picture like old, like way back in like Persia and stuff like that. People doing stuff like that. But I mean, like maybe it was like a feat of strength at some point or something. I don't know. Like, I can't even imagine why that would become a thing.
I know. I wonder the same thing. Like, who said, hey, you know what? I wonder if I can put this thing down my gullet and see what happens. Like, whose idea was that? Kind of like cows. Like, who looked at a cow udder and said, hey.
Let's
drink
like
this stuff. Ew. Who thought of that? Yeah. No, it's just normal. Mm-hmm. This guy also puts a balloon down his throat. But I looked that up because I was like, this can't, how does he, it's really cool because he blows up a really long balloon, like the kind you use to make balloon animals.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And then he puts that down his throat and he says, then he puts a sword in and he pops it and you can hear what sounds like the balloon, the air coming out of it and make that squeaky noise. And it's very funny. And I'm like, this can't be real. I know the sound effect is definitely not real. And so I wanted to know about the balloon. See, who's making jokes? Like, what kind of animals do you guys want? It was funny. So then I thought, he couldn't have really swallowed that balloon. Like, something's up here. And I looked up the trick, and I'm not going to tell what it is because I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it done. But if you've never seen somebody, a sword swallow or swallow a balloon, look that up online. Trust me, you'll not regret it. It is really neat. Don't say I never told you anything.
I've never heard of that one, but yeah, automatically I was thinking, like, how could they? I mean, you could probably try, but how can you guarantee that you're not going to swallow a piece of it when it pops? You know, like that's,
there's that too.
Like that. Right. That's where my thought went immediately. So I was like, yeah, it has to be a trick somehow.
I want to learn how to do it. And do it on Thanksgiving for my family.
Oh, there you go.
Mortify everybody further. Because they don't want me to talk about, like, politics or anything. So, you know, I got something new for you guys. Check this out.
There you go.
They'll be like, could you please talk about politics again? We're begging you.
There you go. There's a great way to reconnect with your family over these issues that they don't want to talk to you anymore about, folks. If you come to our side of the fence.
Yeah.
Do something so outlandish that they will be begging you to have these conversations that they once refused to have with you.
We'll see if it works. I'll let you guys know. Yes. About a month away.
Sword swallowing and balloon swallowing.
I've got about a month to learn how to do it. I'm watching videos on YouTube. What could go wrong?
I can't imagine why you don't sleep, Lisa. You're watching videos how to swallow a giant balloon. Oh my gosh, you're crazy.
I've been in my brain. Seriously, that's what happens. I'm exhausted. I go to bed, and then my brain's like, "Hey, have you ever seen that oatmeal comic about that? It's so funny." Like, hey, your brain, as soon as you lay down and go to sleep, your brain is like, "Hey, you know what? It would be really cool tomorrow. We should do this," and it's all these outrageous ideas. That is my world. That's what happens to me.
See, I'm lucky. That doesn't. I mean, my brain largely doesn't shut off. But I've learned over the years, for some reason, and it's funny because I've actually talked about to a couple people about this recently, who this no longer works for, but it still does for me. I smoke cannabis regularly, and I do it closer. I try to do more closer to bedtime, and even if I don't, I can still pretty much fall asleep anywhere, anytime.
Gosh, I would love to have that ability.
And as long as I'm in a comfortable enough position, I can sleep, you know, a good 6 hours straight usually. And, you know, at the very least. So it's not like I have to force myself to stay up longer, like these long stretches that I did the past couple of months when I was traveling and stuff. Like I really had to force myself because I don't know. Like I said, I know a couple of people that I've been talking to have, it's not working for them anymore. It's not helping them to sleep. But like it not only does it knock me out, but it also causes me to not recall any of my dreams.
that could be good.
Exactly. I mean, every once in a while I miss them, but like, you know, and one time I stopped for a month and I ended up having like vivid Technicolor dreams. Like they were insane. I don't even remember what they were. I just remember the colors being so insanely bright that they were imprinted on me.
That's trippy.
Yeah, but otherwise, largely for the last, I guess, 17, 18 years, almost 19 years now, I've not recalled my dreams at all.
I have those horrible dreams. You don't ever have those, like, nightmares that you have over and over again?
I haven't had stuff like that since I became a regular cannabis smoker. And before that, I did. And the one that I did have, the longest running recurring dream I ever had, was that I'd be running and running and running. And I never saw what I was running from, but I was always running from something. And I would fall off a cliff.
Yikes.
And I would keep falling and falling and falling. But it was like an incredibly long fall. And at the very end, as I started to see the ground come up, you know, closer and closer and closer, like I was going to, like, you know, obviously smash through the ground and die at that point. At the very last second, I was always caught. And it was always by Mr. T.
What? Are you serious? Yeah. That is so not what I thought you were going to say.
I know. I have no idea.
You were going to say some kind of angel or like someone from your past.
Nope.
No, really?
Nope.
I don't know.
Mr.
Whoa.
T in full.
That's crazy.
Like full out B.A. Baracus style Mr. T from the A-Team. Like,
man, it's meme time.
Yeah, Travis, get on that. I'm sure he will.
He did? Oh,
no, I'm sure he will.
So.
Our one of our resident meme masters.
That's great.
Who did a meme and an homage to me with the Beastmaster meme the other day after I talked about it. my obsession with that movie, The Beastmaster. But yeah, so that was the only one I really recall, and I had it for years. It was the craziest thing.
Wow, that is wild. I wonder what triggered that. I've never had any that good. Mine are bad. They're like, I'm running, but I can't run. I'm trying to get away from something, but I can't run. I'm trying to, and I'm like frozen. And then there's two other ones, like teeth falling out. That's a horrible dream.
Oh, that doesn't sound pleasant at all.
It's terrible. I'll probably have it tonight just because we talked about it.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Your
You're special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today. Because you inspire joy, joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
We're talking about some fun stuff for the most part anyway, so I don't know if we need a redemption. Although one of the Onion articles you sent over, I just read the title of it. It's so funny. Polls find 30% of Americans still undecided whether to vote out of fear or spite.
It's pretty much what it is like, though, isn't it? The Onion gets this. They really
I know, they really are.
So funny. That's what it's like.
It really is. I think that's what it comes down to for a lot of people, you know? I mean, I don't know about the spite thing, but fear, I mean, fear really is. It's funny. Like, they try to do this, you know, they're supposed to be satire. And I guess most people who read that, who either don't know what The Onion is or just all they hear is that it's satire, they'll just ignore that. But I wonder how many people actually realize that that's what it is.
I've seen people get really bad of shape about Onion articles on social media, and I'm like, it's satire, calm down. It's not serious. It's funny though. This one, I love the last line where it says, the poll found that millions of undecided Americans were considering the possibility of ignoring fear and spite altogether and instead casting their vote out of utter despair. Oh, I'm like, just stay home, like, you know. There's so many other things you could do that day that are more beneficial to yourself and society.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, besides the fact that you can do, you know, other things, like, there really is no point. It's funny, I was before the show, I was reading the homework assignment from Ben's book, which is... well, at least I still haven't gotten through Ben's book. I'm sorry, Ben. I will finish it soon. I stopped at the homework assignment and I started reading. But it was a small book called National Security and Double Government by, what is the guy? Glenn. Oh, gosh darn it. I have his name somewhere. Yeah. Michael Glennon. Michael J. Glennon. And it was put out 2014, I think. But it covers the... You know, basically what I've been trying to tell people this entire election cycle, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter who wins, because this double government, which Ron Paul has actually also mentioned this recently, I've heard him talk about it publicly, like the secret government or whatever, you know, because that it's what it is. Like this book talks about is basically the difference between the institutions that, you know, and the three branches that everybody thinks, you know, the average person thinks are what, you know, how the government works, mm-hmm. versus the, what he calls the Trumanites. He calls the other section, the Madisonians of the book. There, he goes into, you know, reasons for that and stuff, like the timing of everything and what they, you know, but it's basically the bureaucrats that run everything.
Oh, yeah.
The one, you know, the long, you know, the ones that are there for, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years.
Yeah, that
outlast all these different administrations. So even if they get somebody who's not in complete agreement with what they want to do, okay, they still get done with what they want to get done. And they're the ones who write the policies that the Congress and everybody else trots out and says, well, this is what we want to pass.
Yeah, you know, I'm surprised people aren't, if this election season doesn't do it for people and make them realize this is all just a game and a sham, I don't think anything will. I mean, there were, one of the WikiLeaks talked about the shadow government. Like John Kerry mentioned it to the FBI, and I think that's what it was. I knew John Kerry was involved, and he talked about the shadow government. And some people were saying, "Oh, you know, that was just a joke." You know, it was no, it's not a joke. Like you said, Ron Paul and some other honest people have been saying this for a long time.
Yeah, and if you just look at the structure of how things are and how things actually work and what actually goes on, then you can see very clearly that that's what it is. You know, and I mean, this book, I think, you know, you can buy the book of this, the National Security and Double Government, but it's actually on they have the PDF of it on one of the Harvard Press and sites. And, you know, it's pretty interesting because it goes into not only how they're the ones that control everything, but they do it just well enough that everybody still thinks that the other people are in control.
Interesting. And, I want to read that. Know,
yeah, it's only like 114 pages, and I finished most of it before the show tonight, so.
Ooh, I want to read it. I'll be picking that up this week.
But it really means that your votes don't matter, because not only are they not really in control, but they're the people that are put in certain positions all come from the same circles time in, time again, you know, just like anything else. So.
Yep, they don't care about us.
A very small club, and none of you were in it. Not even us.